All right, let's dive into the Word of God together. Turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 13. We're going to be looking at verses 48 to 52, or we're going to finish up this chapter as we continue to go verse by verse and chapter by chapter through the book of Acts on Sunday mornings. And we're just so thankful to have you here to go through the Word of God with us. And Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would teach us this morning, that your peace will be upon us. Oh God, that you will unclog our ears from the noise of this world, Lord, so we can hear the voice of the Spirit speak to us through the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts chapter 13, looking at verses 48 to 52, the title of this message is Shake It Off. Shake It Off. Now, too often we allow discouragement and disappointment to paralyze us from moving on in life. A lot of people are paralyzed by a divorce, a loss of a job, or a breakup of a friendship. We must learn to shake it off when disappointment comes our way. And this is what Paul and Barnabas will teach us in these verses. They had just finished speaking in the synagogue in the city of Antioch of Pisidia. Excitement was in the air as the people heard the word of God taught. They begged in verse 42 that the word be preached to them the following week. Then a pastor's dream occurred in verse 44 when the entire city came out to hear the word of God. But the Jews who were in the synagogue were filled with envy and started contradicting and blaspheming in an open debate the things spoken by Paul, according to verse 46. Then Paul said, also in verse 46, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, but since you reject it, we turn to the Gentiles or to the non-Jews. So what happened next? Look at verse 48. Now, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as have been appointed to eternal life believed. Now, in contrast to how the Jews responded to the word of God spoken by Paul, the Gentiles heard that the word of God was going to come to them. You got to understand how important this was, because they had heard for many years by the Jews that God hated them and their only existence was to keep the fires of hell going. And now they are hearing that the word of God is going to be preached to them. Oh, yes, they were glad. I wonder, as we consider our own hearts and look at what's going on around us today, I wonder what we have been giving off to the Gentiles or the non-Christians around us. Have we as Christians become like the Jews in these verses, constantly telling them that they're going to hell? And you may be surprised how they would respond if you told them about the God of hope. And that God wants to save them from their sins and save them from hell. They will be glad and glorify the Lord, just like the Gentiles are doing here in this verse. I want to draw your attention to the second part of verse 48. Notice how it says, and as many as have been appointed to eternal life believed. This is the part of the verse that my Reformed friends like to point out and say that God appoints some for heaven. And some even go as far as saying that God appoints some for hell. Now, if God wanted to do it this way, he could. If he wanted to only choose some people for heaven and send the rest of mankind to hell, he could, because we all deserve hell because we're all sinners and God is holy. And therefore, Romans 6:23 is not on the screen for you note takers. It says, for the wages of sin is death. And my Reformed friends will say, well, you know, we have no choice in the matter. It's all about God's choice, his sovereignty. And this is what I love about God's word. Please keep in mind context, context, context. They had a choice, and so do we. These Gentiles were not just appointed to eternal life because God chose them randomly. They had a choice. The Jews had a choice to be appointed to eternal life as well, but they rejected it. Look at what Paul said in verse 46. He said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, but since you rejected and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. They, the Jews, were offered eternal life, but they rejected it. The Gentiles were offered eternal life, and according to verse 48, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. God offers eternal life to everyone, and you have a choice whether you're going to accept it like the Gentiles did or whether you're going to reject it like the Jews here. And those who accept eternal life through a relationship with Jesus Christ, they are the ones who are appointed to eternal life. I want to draw your attention to the word appointed. The Greek word is tektagmenonai, and we get from the root of that word, the word tasso, which means it was a military word, meaning the arranging or to arrange or to assign. And so to put it together, those who accepted the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ were appointed or assigned to eternal life. The real question is, what will that be you today? Or will you leave here rejecting the message like the Jews did? And I love saying this part, the choice is yours. God has given everyone a choice. Whether they're going to hear what's being said and receive it, or whether you're going to hear what's being said and go back to your life doing you. The choice is yours. This is why the Bible says man will be without excuse when he stand before God. Be without excuse. See, that wouldn't make sense if God just picked some for eternal life and didn't pick others. The ones who he didn't pick, they could have easily said, God, if you just picked me, I would have accepted you. But you didn't pick me, so really you can't see me in the hell because why? You didn't pick me. If you just gave me a chance, I would have accepted you. No, he gives everyone a chance. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Sounds like choice to me. Look what it says there in verse 49. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. Notice the natural byproduct of salvation is spreading it throughout the region. We saw them do this in verse 44 where they went out and spread the message about the teaching of the word of God and the whole city came out the following week. That is the natural byproduct of the teaching of the word of God is going out and telling others about it. Oh yes, it was being spread through Paul and Barnabas, but also the newly converted Gentiles from verse 48, they were spreading the word as well. And the way that their faith was spread was through the word of God. True salvation is always seen in telling others about it. You can't keep this good news of salvation to yourself. Or like I've said many times before, it's like one beggar telling another beggar where they found bread. But there is an Old Testament story that illustrates this point beautifully. In 2 Kings 7, in verses 3 through 20, in this story we see four lepers who were people who had the dreadful disease of leprosy. It's called Hansen's disease today. And those with this disease had to live in separate communities away from everyone because of how contagious it was. So there was a severe famine in the land and the Syrians were at war with the Israelites. But these lepers said, look, if we go into the city where the Syrians are, we will die. And if we stay here outside of the city, we will die from this famine. So let's go into the city. What do we have to lose? So they go into the Syrian camp and everyone was gone because the Lord caused them to hear the noise of chariots. And they thought that the Israelites hired the Hittites or some other great army and they fled. The lepers went from tent to tent. eating up everything, taking gold and silver, taking it back, hiding it, and went back for more. Then they said this in 2 Kings 7 verse 9. We are not doing right. The day is a day of good news and we remain silent. If we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now therefore come, let us go and tell the king's household. Do you see how these lepers felt guilty, feeding themselves and remaining silent? This is how we should feel every time we come to church and feast on the word of God and remain silent, or like they said, keep the good news to themselves. We should feel like they did. We're not doing right. However, many of you are going and you're actually doing what these lepers did. You're telling other people about the good news of where you found bread for your soul, and you're inviting them to church. Many of you are here because someone like these lepers told you where they found bread here at Calvary Chapel. And that's why you're here. Each Sunday at all four services, and I look at the people coming in, going out, I look at the parking lot, and I remember 24 years ago when it was just, 15 people. And then those 15 people went and told some others, and we had 32 adults, 23 kids at our first service. And then they told others, and then they told others, and they told others. And many of you are here now because someone told you where their soul was fed, the word of God. And you're here now because someone told you. Surely we got those who, I saw it on the internet, I looked online, or I was driving by and I wondered what was going on. Yes, we have those. But the majority of you are here because one beggar told another beggar where they found bread. And you came here to feast upon the word of God. And I wasn't up here yelling, putting on a show and hooping and fooling around. But I fed you the word of God, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book. And guess what? You came back for more. Because when your soul is fed the word of God, you want more. And then you said, while I'm at it, hey, you want to come here? You got to come here to this stuff. And then you brought your friends, you brought your coworker, your neighbor. It's funny when I stand out there and I can always tell when someone is new, they have the look when they come through the doors, and this is their first time, they have that look. This is your first time. Yeah. Well, I'm just waiting on my coworker. They invited me, and I always smile. And I said, of course they did. Of course. I said, yeah, they'd be here in a minute. I know where they are. They'd be here. That's what happens. Now, all of this good news, that there's going to be some controversy. Look at verse 50. But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city and raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. Now, verse 50 is in direct contrast to verse 49. In verse 49, the word of God is being spread throughout the region, and surely these people were experiencing joy and gladness that the Gentiles in verse 48 experienced, but the Jews in verse 50 stirred up the devout and prominent women and chief men of the city, raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas. These Jews used their contacts in the city to come against Paul and Barnabas. They were men and women in high positions who were possibly proselytes or converts to Judaism and attended the synagogue. They went to the city officials and convinced them to remove or expel Paul and Barnabas because they were causing a ruckus in the city. It was obvious that it worked because look at verses 51, 52. says, but they shook off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Now, the city of Antioch of Pisidia, according to history, already had a shaky relationship with Rome. So to not damage it any further, they removed or expelled Paul and Barnabas. But they, according to verse 51, shook off the dust from their feet and said, deuces, we're out of here. And they came to the city of Iconium. In other words, they descended the mountains where the city of Antioch of Pisidia was, and going east to the area of Lycaonium, they came to the city of Iconium. Now, in ministry and in life, we will either shake it off or we will get shaken up. Those of you who shake the dust off your feet when an attack comes or when rejection hits will go on. Those of you who get shaken up will quit or remain paralyzed in that moment. I was thinking about this as I was going over my notes, and the Lord impressed upon my heart about someone who was truly paralyzed in their steps and paralyzed in the moment. And that was Lot's wife. God told Lot to get his daughters and his wife and get out of there because he was destroying the city. He couldn't destroy it until they got out. And all of a sudden, God told him to, now, when you're going out, don't look back. You don't need to see what's going on back here. I'm doing what I do. You don't look back. Sure enough, they're rushing out of the city. What did Lot's wife do? She looked back. And that plop of sulfur, the Bible says she was turned into a pillar of salt. Don't think table salt, you know, sea salt or something. You're trying to be healthy, you know. No, it was sulfur that dropped on her. And she was paralyzed in the moment. She looked back because her heart was still back in Sodom. You took her out of Sodom, but you couldn't take Sodom out of her. And she looked back because her heart was still back there. And she got paralyzed in the moment. I just wonder if that's you today. That you're paralyzed in the moment of a divorce, the moment of a loss of a job that you thought was your dream job. The paralyzed of the death of a loved one. Many people, they're paralyzed in the moment. I never forget there was a young lady. She was like 18 years old, and she got molested when she was 12, 13 years old. Even though outwardly she looked like a woman, she was 18, looked like a woman. Up here, she was still 12. She was still 12 years old. And what happened to her. And there are many of you just like this. You're just like Lot's wife. You got paralyzed in the moment and you have not been able to shake it off. And you've been shaken up by that situation. Or many of you you're paralyzed by a divorce. Even though you've moved on to a new marriage, you're still paralyzed by the first one. And all you've done is just take your paralyzed self into a new situation. And you're ruining that relationship because you've never been able to shake it off. I want to encourage you to shake the dust off and move on. I say this because all of us will face disappointments. We all will face setbacks and breakup and hardships. Turn to the Lord and ask him to give you the strength and power to shake it off. You can't do it in your own strength. This is where the power of the Holy Spirit comes from. In Luke 11:13, it's not on the screen for you note takers. It says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will God give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? He will give you the power. We know the word power, dunamis, is his Greek word. It's where we get dynamic, dynamo. It's that dynamic power to do what you can't do in your own strength. You can go and talk to a zillion people on their couch. Only the power of God's Holy Spirit can empower you to leave your paralyzed place and to be able to take one step at a time. Only God gives us the power to do that. I mean, if God doesn't give us the power to do it, then what is Christianity? If it doesn't give us the power to overcome, the Bible said we're overcomers through him. And many of you, you came here shaken up, and God wants you to shake it off because you're paralyzed and God wants to free you. You're frozen in time. Frozen. Oh, there's people over in the Middle East that can try to point you to some pillar and say, this was Lot's wife right here, frozen in time. And many of you are frozen in time here in America. Whatever it is that was a setback for you, that was a disappointment for you, you're frozen in time. Still not, because whenever someone talks to you, you're bringing up that incident. Or someone does something, you remind me of, and you're paralyzed. Jesus wants to heal you from this condition if you allow him to. Another reason why we need to shake it off is so those around us will be filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit from a newfound relationship with Jesus Christ that you're going to introduce them to. Like verse 52 says. See, if we can't shake it off, then those whom God wants us to reach for him will go unreached by him. Oh, God will get somebody else to do it, but he wanted to use you. Shake it off. Keep it moving. In Jesus' name, keep it moving. And through the power of his spirit, he will give you the power to leave your frozen condition. It's like the kids' movie, Frozen. Those of you got toddlers, y'all understand. I can see the ones who have toddler or grandkids that age. You've seen the movie a zillion times. Those of you who don't, you're like, Frozen, what's that? It's a kid's movie. Toddlers. Oh, okay. It's a kid's movie. But you're that. Maybe some of y'all need to go and watch it. And say, that's a picture of that's me. Frozen. And everything you touch, you freeze, it just freeze it up. But God wants to set you free. He wants you to move on. He does. He wants you to be able to shake it off in the power of his Holy Spirit. That's the only way you can do it. You can't do it on your own. You see that. You try on your own, you're still frozen. You still look paralyzed in your place. He wants to give you the power to overcome what you can't do on your own. Let me conclude with this. Shake it off today and be free in the name of Jesus from that situation that has you frozen in time. Shake it off because we don't want it to keep us silent and we not tell others about the good news of Jesus Christ and where we found bread. And many of you are shaken up, but God wants you to shake it off as you commit your life to him. He gives you the strength and the power to do what you can't do on your own. You can't do this on your own. These things we talk about in the word of God is really, it's only for believers. If you have never repented of your sin and accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can't do any of this. You can try. You'll fail miserably. Because God gives us the power to do what we can't do on our own. This is why we need him. This is why the old hymn, I need thee, oh, I need thee every hour. I need thee. Because we can't do it on our own. He gives us the power to do it. In the name of Jesus Christ, he gives us that power. Let's pray. Father, we pray, Lord, for your people here. Lord, many of them are shaken up by some unfortunate situation that's happened to them. They're frozen in time. They're paralyzed. But Lord, you said whom the Son sets free is free indeed, that you would free your people today. Lord, we sung about the freedom that we have in you, Lord. Free your people today. Dear God, I just pray, Lord, for the power of your spirit to come upon your people. Lord, I pray for anyone here who has never prayed to ask Jesus Christ to come into their heart as their Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray that as they pray that prayer today, that the power of your Spirit will come upon them to empower them to do what they can't do on their own. And so, Lord, let us take this word out to a world that so desperately needs you. And Lord, let us bring them back, Lord, and let them see where they found bread to feast upon the word of God. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.